We turn now to Hungary, which has just assumed the rotating EU presidency, but its government has come under a firestorm of criticism for a new law that gives it sweeping powers over its media. Joining us now is Adam Libor, Budapest correspondent for the London Times and The Economist magazine, and we're talking to him in Budapest. Adam, welcome back to our show today for our first backstory segment.
Thanks very much for having me on the program.
A number of countries, including the UK, Germany, and Luxembourg, have voiced fears about this new media law. What's their main concern about it?
Well, there's several concerns. What the law does is it establishes a new national media and telecommunications authority, which is going to have power over print, broadcast, and online. And the concerns are that the head of the authority, a woman called Anna Maria Salai, is a former MP for Fidesz, which is the governing party, and the other four members were also all nominated by Fidesz. So there's concern about political balance. It's going to have very unprecedented powers to impose heavy fines for really rather vague offences like impinging human dignity, that kind of thing.
Well, Fidesz is a centre-right party, and its leader was a dissident during the communist years. I would have thought that this would have been the last thing that somebody who had fought communism would want to institute.
What they say, you know, we must give them their voice, is that all of this is absolutely in line with European norms, and this is a big fuss about nothing, that other countries have very similar things. But
do they?
They say there's not. Well, what they do is they have similar things, but different bits in different countries. Now, no one's really done a comparative detailed study of the media structure and laws of all 27 European member states. But the concern about what's happening here is that all of these things are being put together. So there is an unelected authority whose head is appointed by the government, and it has these very strong powers, and people are saying it's unconstitutional.
In a recent article for the Times of London, you say that Mr. Viktor Orban, the head of Fidesz, should not be compared to Vladimir Putin, but rather to Margaret Thatcher.
Yes, that caused quite a stir, that article. There's a lot of the reaction, having said of the criticisms of this, a lot of the reaction has been a bit over the top, because this is a democratically elected government with an overwhelming mandate.
And 68% of the vote in the last election.
Something like 52% of the actual vote, but they got them more than two-thirds of the seats in Parliament because of the vagaries of the electoral system. But all this talk of Putinization is way over the top. You know, I think what we have to do is just to deal with what the reality is here, which is a government which, as critics say, is over-centralizing power.
But isn't this a trend that we've seen in many of the former communist countries of Eastern Europe,
yes,
Russia,
kind of
Ukraine,
like
Belarus?
Yes, I mean, we have seen that, but there's a massive difference between Hungary and Russia and Ukraine, is that Hungary is a functioning Western democracy. You know, no one's questioning elections in Hungary. The government was legitimately elected. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about what it's doing with some of those things, some of the things it's doing with its mandate, because the media law is part of a continuum of centralization. Now, remember, Mrs. Thatcher may have loved the free market, but she was a great centralizer. You know, she abolished the Great London Council, she took on the miners' strike, she sort of started a culture war against the liberals in the BBC. She was actually a rather authoritarian leader, although she loved the City of London and the market. On social things, she was a real centralizer. That's why I said that I think she is more of a model than Vladimir Putin. I mean, people are, you know, there isn't the violence here that you see in Russia or Belarus, for a start.
What has been the reaction in Hungary, a country where the press was controlled for so many years?
Well, the reaction has been rather pathetic, actually. I mean, a few newspapers have published blank pages in protest, and one journalist on public radio did a minute's silence, for which he was promptly suspended. And you know, sometimes as foreign correspondents, we almost wonder why we're writing so much about this when the Hungarian press seems very lackluster in its response to it.
Hungary has just assumed the rotating EU presidency, and the Eurozone is experiencing a number of problems at the moment, especially with the sovereign debt crisis. Wasn't Hungary one of the first nations to get an IMF bailout?
Yes, it got a big IMF bailout in 2008, and it has very serious economic problems. It has actually the lowest employment rate in the whole of the European Union, with 55% of the workforce. That's actually lower than Malta and lower than Greece. And there's very widespread corruption here as well. And there's a sort of growing feeling against foreign investors, which is really bizarre, because foreign investors are the ones who rescued this country in the early 1990s. You hear more and more talk of people being against the Maltese, as they call them, which is the multinationals. But, you know, if you want to go have a country without multinationals, then take a trip to Albania or Moldova and see how people live there.
Well, Adam, thank you for mentioning Moldova, because that's the next thing we'll be discussing on the show. Thank you so much for talking to us about the current situation in Hungary. Adam Libor is a Budapest correspondent for the London Times and The Economist.
Thank you so much for having me on the show again.